This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On hour number two, we are coming live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Friday. NCAA hoops all over the map. Is what it's all about. And, of course, to help us for the next couple of segments, he's in studio, John Rothstein, as he's following games, frantically says, get in. As soon as he walks in the studio, he's like, change the game. I've got to see what's happening with UC Irvine. I don't blame him. I mean, this is UC Irvine is up a deuce here, John. Kansas State.
What's
going
on here? Make it a five, not a bad shot. Yeah. Offensive rebound.
No, we can't do that play-by-play. Yeah. I mean, I know you don't host shows that much anymore, but don't do that.
John, I talked to Gary Parrish yesterday, and I just asked him for, give me an upset. This is the one he picked.
Did he really?
We both picked it.
Yeah, why? What is it about UC Irvine that we are not paying attention to? Because, what were they, fourth in their conference this year?
No, they won 30 games. This was a team that had a culture of winning under Russ Turner. I think similar to Loyola Chicago last year, anytime a team has won at a high level – prior to going to the NCAA tournament, that's usually has a better chance to translate. Now, logically, that would sound like a good formula, but remember, last year, UMBC did not win the America East regular season title and then went on to beat Virginia. So, Tiki, a lot of things exist in college basketball. Logic, not one of them.
makes a lot of sense. But talking about Virginia, they're down six, and you were watching it right before halftime. Yeah. They drilled a big three-pointer to make it a six-point game. Neither in the last two possessions, neither team scored. So they go in down six. Obviously, I feel this. I'm emotional. I'm too close to it. And Diakite's playing terrible. But what's the psychology of a team that, like Virginia, that loses to UMBC last year, and they're playing Gardner-Webb? Yeah, I know it's kind of a home game for Gardner-Webb because they're so close relative to the University of Virginia. What's the psychology of Tony Bennett's squad right now?
The key in any upset in the NCAA tournament is can you get the favorite to start emotionally cracking? And that is the key. And I thought, like yesterday, for example, Yale was a great offensive team this year in the Ivy League. They lost by five. They were 8 of 37 from three. And Mi Ayoni, their NBA prospect, was 2 of 16. 37. If they're average.
That's amazing. They almost won the game.
No. If they're average from three, if they're 12 of 37, they beat LSU by 7 to 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, as the game went on, if they could have just made a shot or two, LSU could have began to emotionally crack, and that could have been out. That could have been it. But the key, Tiki, is this, and that's why I think that Virginia surge was so impressive down the stretch, is if it was a 10-point game or a 12-point game, I would give an edge to Gardner-Webb. Virginia's fine right now.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that they're fine, but I see, like, if Virginia, even though they score the ball like they really had never before, they're
this
a much
year.
Better offensive team.
Right.
We know that. But their calling card, their staple, is still defensively driven by Coach Bennett. A team like Virginia, I don't see them cracking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more just, I don't know.
Elephant in the room?
If they were to lose today, I understand what you mean. Like, the psychology, like, I guess what I'm saying is if Virginia was a team that scored 93 a game and they gave up 82.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's a team that is almost a front, like, can score with the best of them, can drill, you know, 23s and run you out of the gym. But when things get a little tight because they're not defensive-oriented, they kind of lose their way. I would think that of all the teams in the tournament, I would think that Virginia's would be the toughest mentally because of how they play.
But what happened last year has got to creep in. I know that it's 12 months ago, but this is historical stuff right here.
Say to Teak and ask everybody that's listening and watching, say what you asked me when you said it before.
If Gardner-Webb wound up winning this game, forget about college basketball, where would we put it in sports? Like I said to Brandon, I said the Bills lost four straight Super Bowls, but they went to the Super Bowl. They were a great team. I mean, 12 months ago, a 16 had never beaten a 1. So if not just if a 16 beat a 1 again, but if it was the same team and the same nucleus of players, I mean, this would become a 30 for 30 or whatever
documentary.
No, you'd have to make
it a 60. 30 minutes wouldn't cut it. The odds would be incalculable.
You're right. For a team that his number one seed, had risen to number one. They were number one for at least a couple weeks.
33-3 in the ACC the last 2 years in the regular season.
Well, let's think positively. Let's not start. I need Tiki for the next 2 hours
but
on the show.
But it's out there, so we know what's happening. Look, this there haven't been a ton of upsets this year.
No,
I think a lot of people expected there to be.
Vermont almost got one. Vermont played. They shot the lights out.
Yep, you're
16
right.
16-32, I think they were from behind the arc.
You're right. Why do you think that the status quo was holding, as opposed to previous seasons where you get the, you know, the 7-12 or whatever it may be upset?
Well, 5-12 Murray upset. State Marquette is different just because Marquette was dominated and really wasn't in the game in the second half.
Yeah.
To have upsets in the NCAA tournament, you need your star players on the mid-major level to play at a high level. That's why I thought that Yale had the best chance because they had an NBA player and he didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's a great player and had a great player of the year in the Ivy League, you know, a great player, didn't play well. So, you know, one of the best players in the Ivy League, an NBA prospect, but I think that's part of it, Teak. I don't think, you know, you've seen people cash in those opportunities, but there's still some left on the board tonight that I think are interesting, and this is one that's, you know, 17 seconds away right now.
All right, we'll keep an eye on this. John Rothstein's with us in the studio. John, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, does the same for SI. John's here this segment, next segment as well. Tweets, firemen, at Tiki and Tierney. We could throw them by John. Obviously this was yesterday, but can you somehow try to quantify what the win for Minnesota and more specifically Richard Pitino means for Richard Pitino and his pops, Rick? I mean, that's crazy stuff. Crazy.
I was more happy for Richard Pitino yesterday than I was probably for any coach that I've ever covered in the NCAA tournament, and here's why. I want all of us to think about what it's probably been like for 36 years for Richard Pitino to be Richard Pitino, to be Rick Pitino's son, to be Rick Pitino's assistant, to go through life with all of this, and then all of a sudden you get your proudest moment as a head coach against the school where you once worked that fired your father.
Yeah.
I mean, that is stuff right out of Hollywood. And look, Minnesota played great. Gabe Kalischer played great, but I was happy for Richard Pitino to get that win, setting up the all Big Ten showdown.
Yeah, but John, look at this, though. I mean, I don't know that you're trying to paint it this way, but you make it seem like Richard Pitino grew up in hell. I mean, because Rick Pitino was his dad. Every coaching door was open, and he grew up a millionaire. I mean,
Correct, but it's not all about money. It's about living in the shadow of one of the great coaches.
But you get my point.
I get that, it seemed like
he grew up and it was holy hell.
Yeah, nobody's crying for him, but they feel happy for him.
Hold on a second. I didn't say we should throw a bake sale for him.
It validates his coaching career.
Well, it's beyond that. It's just when you grow up and your father was the coach of the Knicks when he's 40, and that's what the bar is if you want to get into coaching, and you go out and you get your first NCAA tournament win against the school that fired your father.
I got you.
You know, as a human being, you know, I have a human side. I'm very happy for him.
Listen, that's why we love you, John. He comes across as a robot with the info he knows, but he's a human being. He really is.
Yeah, let's hop back to this Marquette-Murray State game. Obviously, John Moran had a ridiculous day. 17 points, 16 assists.
Oh, he took 9 shots, Dickie.
I know.
9 shots.
16, and I forgot. I think he had a triple-double.
He definitely had a triple-double.
11 rebounds as well. I mean, a lot of people have already given Zion Williamson the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Should we second guess this now because of this kid?
I don't think you can second guess it, but I will say this. Because of the importance of point guards in the NBA, because of the importance of that lead guard position, there are, I'm sure, people in the NBA who are legitimately thinking about Ja Morant at the top of the board. And that's something that I think, you know, can't be denied. Now, this is not, I think, a particularly deep draft, but I do think right now you've got 2 to 3 guys at the top of the board that are going to be jewels for, you know, the teams that they're drafted by. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, by the way, UC Irvine, that is final. So number 13-seeded UC Irvine, the Anteaters, first win ever in the NCAA tournament, their second appearance. Last one was back in 2015. They win by 6. They take out Kansas State, who was a 4 seed. So obviously we're bouncing around here. I know you have I heard you talking about this locally the other day on the radio here in New York. I think it was on FAN. I think it was with Joe and Evan. And you were talking about, you know, Bobby Hurley. You predicted the Arizona State to beat St. John's. You were right about that. St. John's played terribly. And obviously you have a juicy matchup with the coaches here with Oates and with Buffalo and with Hurley from Arizona State. John, I didn't realize how – I knew he was good. I didn't realize how physically imposing this young man Dort is.
Yeah.
He's 6'4", he's 220, he's almost like Dwayne Wade. I was told a few people at the arena the other night, if he goes, he's going to go in the first round if he leaves after 1 year. I kind of like Arizona State today. I think you like Buffalo, I think.
No, I like Arizona
State.
I like Arizona State. Well, here's the thing, BT. I always look for the ceiling. Arizona State has beaten Kansas. Yep. Arizona State has beaten Utah State and Mississippi State. Arizona State has beaten Washington. Now, granted, Washington, to me, is unproven. They'll have a litmus test against Utah State. But I think for the people who follow the Big East, they knew St. John's had players.
No.
Arizona State matched them player for player.
No question.
Dort. Remy Martin, Tayshaun
Cherry. And
Remy
Martin's not even healthy right now. Yeah. Don't worry about that a little bit.
Tayshaun Cherry, but here's the thing. Last year, Arizona plays Buffalo, round of 64 matchup. Dusan Ristić and DeAndre Ayton are on the floor in a dual big lineup for Arizona. So Buffalo goes small and was able to bring one of the bigs away from the basket and drive around them in the four small lineup. Obviously was too much for Arizona to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Zylan Cheatham changes that.
He's a big boy.
Zylan Cheatham is almost like, and again, he has to perfect the corner jump shot a little bit, but he's got some of that Trevor Ariza type ability to cover ground defensively. He's the type of
guy. It's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that a lot of people tell me may not get drafted, but could make a roster in the NBA. He needs, though, to find that Trevor Ariza, Bruce Bowen corner three, but there's the ability right there defensively to be able to guard 1-4. That could be, I think, the wild card in today's game on defense.
I'll give you another wild card. Then we'll get a break. We'll come back. John, obviously, tee up the rest of the games here. Keep an eye on what's happening. Rob Edwards, who is there, I believe he's their fourth leading scorer, heavy minutes kid. You know, play. They don't have a really deep bench. Four kids play, you know, in the 30-minute vicinity. Rob Edwards, they are, including the aforementioned win over Kansas, when he scores 15 or more, he averages 11, I want to say, they're 6-1.
So 13-6 when he scores in double figures.
Oh, look at this guy. I mean, I throw out one stat about the fourth best player on the team.
I'm just trying to
add this guy. Look at this guy. I mean, come on.
And he crushes you.
Look at this guy.
I mean, he's just sitting at the top of his head.
Is this guy? Are you kidding me with that? Are you kidding me with that?
I'm just trying to add. That's all.
So basically, the bottom line is this: if Rob Edwards plays well today against Buffalo, pretty good chance Sun Devils will move on. All right, let's get a break here. John's with us for another full segment. You're out of your mind. Good. 855-212-4227. Tweets at Tiki and Tierney. Roll with the hoops. Johnny Rothstein in the house. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers. So LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than just a resume. They're based on skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. So you get a group of the most relevant, qualified candidates for your role. That way, you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire that you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/tiki and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/tiki, T-I-K-I. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, that'll twist up your bracket a little bit. Nice job, UC Irvine. Good stuff, and that's how it sounded. Final call, Westwood 1, NCAA Radio Network. So the Anteaters moving on. And they will take on the winner of number 512, the 512 game, Wisconsin-Oregon. And, wow, so Kansas State is done. And a little curveball in your bracket. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Good for the school. First ever NCAA win. That is terrific. All right, so John Rothstein is still with us. John, of course, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, does the same for SI. College Hoops Today podcast, all the big-time coaches, always relevant material there, good stuff. All right, so John, we were talking during the break a little bit here, just to get away from the games for a moment, there is a prominent job that is going to be, that's open.
Yep.
That's UCLA. And there was a thought maybe Luke Walton, maybe once he gets fired, not if, but when. What are you hearing? You know, I thought Hopkins would make a little bit of sense, but then we saw the news, you know, he got the 6-year extension from Washington after back-to-back Pac-12 Coach of the Year honors. What does UCLA do here?
It's a great question, Brandon, and I have remained very consistent in this opinion since the job opened when UCLA terminated Steve Alford. UCLA will not get a coach in a good situation in a power conference to leave their job to go work at UCLA. Nobody who is making a comfortable salary in excess of $2 or $2.5 million a year, mm-hmm. with private planes for recruiting, with private planes for road games and so on and so forth, and without the pressure of the bubble that exists inside of UCLA, is going to give up what they have to go to work in Westwood. Now, why do I say that? Look at the last two coaches at UCLA. Ben Hallen, three Final Fours.
Well, that was the guy. He got screwed. Ben Hallen was great.
Well, think about this for a sec. 6 years ago, Ben Hallen gets fired. 6 years ago, UCLA wins the Pac-12 regular season title. They beat Arizona three times. In the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament, Jordan Adams, who was his best all-around player that year, breaks his foot. They lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Ben Hallen gets clipped. Steve Alford, you can say what you want, didn't go far enough in the tournament, went to three Sweet 16s. By UCLA standards, that's not acceptable, but UCLA standards are not really aligned with reality right now. If you want to be a big-time program like Duke, like Kentucky, like Kansas, you have to act like it in all facets of the program from soup to nuts. In between being on the radio over at FAN earlier today and coming here, I made a lot of calls. I was told by somebody directly tied to UCLA that they are likely not close in making a hire. It's March 22nd. You fired Steve Alford, obviously, months ago. And this is the situation you're in right now. I think there's going to be a lot that needs to be played out with UCLA before they find a basketball coach.
Is that not a top job anymore?
If the amenities are going to be up to speed, if you're going to get paid between $3 and $3.5 a year, if you're going to have private planes for recruiting, if you're going to charter during road games, it's UCLA. But, Tiki, this is what you got to understand. For somebody who's in a good situation in a power conference job, why would you uproot that?
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. It's a great point.
Why would you uproot that?
So that,
unrealistic expectations. That Calipari nonsense was nonsense.
Look, here's the bottom line when it comes to John Calipari. This is what you have to remember. He makes $8 or $9 million a year. So even if UCLA were to throw the bank at him, he's getting 10 or 11 from Kentucky with a contract extension. Here's another thing you have to remember. John Calipari hasn't gotten on probably a commercial flight since probably before Memphis. That you're going back like, you know, a long time. And also, the Kentucky assistants need to be compensated if they went to UCLA. Kenny Payne makes close to $1 million. Tony Barbee, who's an assistant coach, probably makes in excess of $500,000. I mean, is UCLA prepared to spend $2 million on the support staff in addition to spending 9 or 10 on the head coach?
I'm going to throw a name out there, and it's off the radar, and it's not even a college coach, and he hasn't coached in a couple of years. It seems, based on the timeline that John just laid out, you're right, it's kind of getting time to losing out on recruits, et cetera. Transfer market's heating up. Mark Jackson, can they do something unconventional? Can they go for a former NBA player?
I think if they went for a former
I mean, he's a New York guy, but he lives.
If they went for a former LA player, I think it would have to have ties to UCLA. That was an NBA player. I don't see that.
Nice.
Okay. Well, we'll see what they do.
Actually, not nice. The Blue Bloods, the big ones, at least in the ACC, Duke and UNC played today. Look, the story has been Zion Williamson all season long. They've been vulnerable, though, at points in this season. Really,
yeah.
Forget the six games that they were without him. Are they as invincible as we want to believe they are?
Yeah, their ceiling is higher than anybody else's ceiling in the NCAA tournament.
Disagree, North Carolina. I disagree.
North Carolina's lost one game at full strength.
Go ahead. Okay.
The Gonzaga. I picked North Carolina to win the national championship,
by
the way.
I know.
But here's the thing. The ceiling for Duke, okay, is completely different because their 1, 2, and 3 players are so vastly more talented than everybody else. If Cam Reddish wasn't on Duke and was on another team where he was featured and you ran plays for him, he would be a first-team All-American. Mm. There's no doubt about that. But he's in a different situation right now because he's playing, you know, the third wheel. The difference with Duke is this. If they get punched, and if they're in a scenario where they're in a tight game in the second half, there is no veteran to calm that huddle. There is nobody like there was in 2015 with Quinn Cook or Matt Jones or Emile Jefferson. So that's the thing I'm curious to see.
Isn't that what Coach K is there for?
It's different. You got to have that. You got to have the player.
Yeah.
Well, tell us why you have UNC then. I mean, UNC beat Duke twice without Zion, effectively without Zion, because of the 36 seconds in the first game. They lost to him with Zion, albeit by a point, in the ACC semifinals. Why UNC?
UNC, to me, was the story that was kind of swept under the rug at the ACC tournament because they were able to trade blows with Duke at full strength, you know, with Zion Williamson. And they've become a much better defensive team since they were embarrassed at home against Louisville. And the guy right now, and I know he's, for the people who follow the NBA draft, he's obviously well-known and a known commodity. The guy that I think has a chance to really explode over the next couple of weeks is Coby White. Much bigger than Roy Williams' point guards that he's had in years past, like Joel Berry or Ty Lawson or Ray Felton, can really score the basketball. Cam Johnson quietly playing like an All-American caliber player. I think this is the team right now that's playing its best at the right time. And look, you know, college basketball, as we know, is unconventional as to what's going to happen in sports, but I can't imagine what it would be like if North Carolina and Duke played for a national championship.
That would be insanity. That'd be
amazing. I mean, just what that would, the buildup, what that would be like.
It would be incredible. By the way, Colgate's up 2 on Tennessee now, and it's in the second half. Yeah.
Wow.
11 minutes to go, second half, so Colgate's of the Red Raiders are up 52-50. Our buddy Admiral Schofield, who we had on the show, he's got to get going here. There's obviously some time left, but they're losing. And Tiki's Cavs are making a move. They trail Gardner Webb by a deuce, 38-36. And it's early. Arizona State over Buffalo, 14-11. John Rothstein is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. John, one of our real great insider here at the network, and SI, and that's recently added to the portfolio. So we had him in when Tiki was out. Congrats on that. The podcast, College Hoops Today. John, I hate to actually talk coaches, get to games, and go back to coaches, but I neglected to ask you this. Is there a coach currently coaching who you think might still be coaching for his remaining tenure at the school that he's still coaching for?
He's coaching for his job.
A coach that's in the tournament right now that if he gets bounced early could get fired?
I don't see that right now.
Okay.
Not if they're in the NCAA tournament. No.
Okay. Okay. Do you know the answer to this? Because I always find it interesting, you know, whether it's if Colgate was to win or, sorry, Teague, if Gardner-Webb is to win. Well, now Virginia's tied it up 38
apiece. About to take the lead.
Yep. Got an N1 coming up. Yeah, no, I hear
fine.
It. I told you they win by 12 or 15. They'll handle this game. But how much money, like the infusion of funds to a low-rated seed that you know, even if you just win one game, what does that do for not so much the profile, because
question.
You have to then
–
do you know
question.
Economically what
question.
That does?
Yeah, I don't have the specifics, but, you know, the bonuses just for coaches themselves are crazy. Like, coaches and coaching staffs get bonuses for making the NCAA tournament
even
winning
the,
a game.
Even the small squads, say, like Gardner-Webb.
It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I read somewhere like Leonard Hamilton or – I think I read today in the clips I got.
I love him on the sidelines.
He's 70. He looks like 54.
And what do you say?
Black don't crack.
What did I say? He came up the other day. You were out. I said, if Tiki was here, he'd say black don't crack. And, of course, Tiki's here, and that's what he said.
So
he looks great.
Yeah, no, he looks sensational. But, yeah, I think, you know, you win an NCAA tournament game, you get like $50,000.
Are you worried? Yeah, and that could be on the lower end for some. Are you worried? I mentioned Vermont yesterday before they hit, I think it was 16 out of 32. There's so many stats in our heads now, but I think it was 50% from behind the arc. And I believe Vermont has their best player coming back next season, which obviously bodes well for the Catamounts. But is that kind of an anomaly, or is that a weak point? Like Florida State's three-point defense moving forward, was that something, was Vermont quote-unquote lucky, or is that something the Seminoles have to worry about?
You know, Florida State was, and I talked to Leonard Hamilton this morning about this, they're coming off playing all those games consecutively in the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a toll. There's a carryover, and then you're playing Thursday afternoon after, you know, playing Saturday night against Duke, Friday against Virginia, Thursday in an overtime game against Virginia Tech. There was a lot on that, playing three games in 3 days. So, no, I think this is a team that will get better as the NCAA tournament goes along. And I think the difference is how Ja Morant was able to carve up that Marquette defense yesterday. When somebody gets switched on him tomorrow, it's going to be a high-level athlete.
Yeah.
How about that left-handed pass he threw, though?
Oh, it's ridiculous. God.
Like Russell Westbrook.
I know. One more coaching question. There's a rumor a couple days ago that Buzz Williams could be leaving Tech and heading to Texas A&M. You heard anything on this?
I've heard all sorts of that. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to wait and see what happens when Virginia Tech is eliminated. They could be playing for a long time in this NCAA tournament. So, you know, we'll have more for that, you know, throughout the coverage here during the NCAA tournament, and then we'll see how far Virginia Tech goes, because they have a team with Justin Robinson back that can get to the second weekend and do some damage. But, yeah, we'll have all that moving forward.
What about Bama? Only because I ask you, because Avery Johnson's a big name. We all know him from the NBA, NBA pedigree. That's one of those unique jobs where it was a unique hire, And I thought it was a pretty proactive hire, but there's some rumblings that, you know, that could be over too.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I've been told that by end of business today, an official parting of the ways is expected.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, that was that's what the two sides were working towards.
Yeah, you know,
that it could be done by end of business on Friday. You know, I don't think anybody expects that he returns as Alabama's head coach. It's interesting to me though. You know, two things. Coaches right now, and we saw this with Bryce Drew being fired earlier today at Vanderbilt. 10 years ago, you got 4 years, and maybe you got a fifth if you did things the right way. Now, things are being expedited.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4 years if you're not obviously, winning at a high level. Like Bryce Drew goes to the NCAA tournament his first year, almost wins a game, loses to Northwestern. I was down at a Vanderbilt practice in the preseason. They had a guy in Darius Garland who wasn't going to be Trae Young, but he could have been this year's Trae Young. Like, he could have averaged 17, 18 points and maybe 7 or 8 assists.
Okay.
And he was out with a knee injury. He missed the entire season.
He tore something? Okay.
So, like, that was their guy.
Yeah.
And they don't play with him. They don't win an SEC tournament game. And then he gets fired. Like, it's just...
Was he a freshman?
He was a freshman. He was a five-star player.
You don't
Nashville.
Win one game, though? I'm not saying the kid wasn't going to be good. I mean, but you went winless in the conference.
It could have been this year's Trae Young.
Okay, but even without Trae Young, they won a playoff game. They won a tournament game today by 23 points.
I get without it. Trae Young. I'm just saying, 3 years to me is a little bit premature. And like Marvin Menzies at UNLV, Shakur Justin, first-team All-Mountain West player, averaged 15 and 10, doesn't play, you still win 17 games. And what I think happens is, and you're seeing this by how really extended these searches get, these ADs make a change, and then all of a sudden, the process drags on, and it drags on further because they don't have a candidate.
John Rothstein, he's on the money as always, John. Good hopping in, buddy. Is your neck okay? Been bouncing back? I mean, like rubber neck. There's an accident on the side every 2 seconds.
Tennessee is playing badly right now.
Virginia's starting to get going, though. Yeah. Up by six. No, four. What is it?
See you Monday. This is March.
We will see you, John. He's got to get that in. John Rothstein, follow him on Twitter. And CBS Sports College Basketball Insider SA College Hoops Today podcast. John is moving on to his next, like the car wash. Where are you going now? What do you have now, TV?
Back to CBS Sports Network. Back to the studio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.